minute.
Good morning, indeed. Hello, America. What up, upstate South Carolina? Howdy, world. Welcome in. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the fan upstate. What's crack-a-lackin', y'all? Welcome in. Great to have you. Tank Top Thursday underway here on the show. 4 hours of sports talk excellence going down between now and 10 a.m. I am Rob Brown. The pleasure is mine, but not exclusively, because on the other side of the metaphorical glass today, all days, the gentleman in charge of this program and every program you've ever enjoyed, the great one, Lonzo. Hi, Lonzo.
You said all day, like I'm not normally here. I mean, you know.
Okay. I don't know what you want me to say. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, all right? I'm still getting my life together. Still getting my act together. It's going real slow. But that's all right. We're going to.
I'm not sold on the jersey. I mean, because you're wearing a Mavericks jersey. I thought you were a Pelicans fan.
No. I'm wearing a Dirk Nowitzki jersey. He just happened to be a Maverick. To me, the name on the back is more important than the name on the front.
Can't nobody see that? Can't nobody see the number?
There's no Mav. That's not true. I'd rock a Luka jersey too. You wouldn't rock a Luka jersey. You'd rock a Luka jersey.
I can't rock a basketball jersey. Period.
I didn't say but you'd if rock I, a jersey, but if you were going to,
although I like the design. Although that's basically a V-neck, man. That's weird.
That's the new jerseys. And I got to tell you,
but the new jerseys are V-necks. I haven't looked that close.
Well, they bounce back and forth.
I don't see V-necks on there.
I'm gonna tell you.
There's a basketball game on TV right now. Where are the V-necks?
I'm going to tell you, I prefer it. I prefer the cut look.
You would prefer the V-neck. I get it.
I don't know what you're going to tell you. I prefer that. It's a vibe, man. It's a whole vibe.
If they could have a V-neck quarter zip in a basketball jersey,
you can't 25. Have a V-neck and a quarter zip. If you want the V-neck to be, if you want the quarter zip to be a V-neck, you unzip it. Then it's a V-neck. If you zip it, now it's not a V-neck, and but it's always a quarter zip.
All right, you're going to have to explain to me why if the zipper starts here and it only comes down so far, then it's still a quarter zip.
Correct.
Because it's only coming a quarter of the way down the piece of fabric.
A V-neck is something that has the V designed into the shirt. This is a V-neck in that the V is the shirt.
A V-neck could be a quarter zip
can be V-necked by definition. It can be both a V-neck and not a V-neck. It can be everything from a turtleneck to a V-neck and everything in between.
Which is what I said in the first place. And then you said it couldn't be. No.
But you're saying it is that thing. It is not a V-neck.
Well,
but it
first
can be
of all,
worn
I don't think
one.
There is any such thing as a V-neck quarter zip, but there should be. And if there was, you would get it. Although that would be like a cleavage cut, probably.
Well, all V-necks are to some degree.
No, if it was a quarter zip, it definitely would be.
The point here is a quarter zip is a quarter zip. It can be zipped to where it is a V-neck.
I don't think you've really thought this thing through.
No, I definitely have.
Because of what it means. It means it only comes a quarter of the way down the fabric.
Right.
So wherever it starts, if it only comes a quarter of the way down the fabric, so if it starts at the top of the V and it only comes a quarter of the way, it's still a quarter zip.
Right. I'm not saying it's not. It is always a quarter zip. No matter where the zipper is, it is a quarter zip.
Right, so I was right.
But it is not a V-neck.
It could be a V-neck quarter zip.
That's exactly what I said, and you said I was wrong.
No, it's not. You said I...
If I take that zipper and I take it up to the top, it is not a V-neck.
You're missing the point. If I start a zipper right at the bottom of your quarter zip right there, and it only goes a quarter of the way down, it's still a quarter zip.
It is already established. I could have a shirt that zips all the way open like a GQ model. If I have the zipper here, it is V-necked.
No, you couldn't, because it wouldn't be a quarter zip. And we're talking about quarter zip.
I didn't say I had a quarter zip where the zipper goes down. I said if I have a shirt where the zipper zips all the way, a jacket. If I have a jacket that zips all the way up and down, and I pull the zipper to betwixt my nips, now it's a V-neck. But it is not a V-neck. It is just V-necked.
We'll listen to this later, and you'll realize that you're saying two totally opposite things. The first thing you said was that I was wrong, even though I was right. And now you're trying to say that I said something different than what I said when I said something. Are you writing it down to make sure that you remember?
No, I'm plugging
check
my,
it later.
I'm plugging my tablet in because I have to actually keep track of things that we really do talk about today. Because
you got a pewter over there.
I do have a pewter, but I like the tablet of truth. I like writing. I'm a writer.
Then why not just use paper?
Because then I got to carry paper around. This I just
you're gotta, right. You're right. Paper so much heavier than.
Well,
than
what are we? What are we in the? What are we in the? What are we in the Stone Age? No, we have technology now, and I utilize it to the best of my abilities.
Excuse
also,
me.
Also, speaking of technology, that's badass.
That is pretty sweet.
That's badass. They're showing last night. They opened up the new Intuit Dome, which is where the Clippers play. And if you haven't seen this thing, it's a it's Steve Ballmer opened it. It is a, I want to say it's like a 25,000, 30,000 seat arena. It has a full enormous wraparound ring screen that runs around the top, but it's actually super dope in that the screen's on both sides, the inside and the outside, so you can see every bit of it anywhere in the stadium. It's soup. It's got like the totally updated holographic vibe to it. And on top of that, it's interactive with the fans throughout the game, right? So on the chair in the Intuit Dome, there are buttons. And throughout the course of the night, they put up poll questions and they put up trivia and stuff like that. And you answer those things and like there you can use it to get to do prize giveaways and
stuff
like that.
Do you get shocked if you answer wrong?
I mean, Ballmer is a, you know, he is a billionaire and you know how I feel about that. But I don't think he went full Saw on us. I don't think it's quite that intense.
Does it also give off scents?
It does, from what I understand. And I read some of this last night. I don't know how much of it is accurate or not. And I want to go to a game, to be honest with you. Like, I want to go to LA and see it and go to a game there. But my understanding is that the last couple of years at some of the shows at like Disney World and stuff, they have put little mechanical things in the chair so that the chair can respond. So like if something happens on stage, your chair will vibrate, right? So it feels like whatever's happening on stage is happening with you or whatever. I believe he said that they have those in the chair. So like if there's a dunk or something, your chair will rattle with the rim. And I'm like, okay, if we're keeping it a buck, somebody described to me the other day wrestling, professional wrestling. By the way, Fight Club coming up at 9:20 this morning. And boy, how do we have stuff to talk about. Somebody described the other day to me at wrestling as musical theater for dudes. And I thought, you know what? That's actually fair. That's actually pretty fair. That's a pretty thick. I actually think you could go one step further and say sports is just theater for bros. And by the way, bros is a gender inclusive term, all right? Ladies is bros too. Go on, dust your shoulders off. I think it's theater for bros. And because it's theater for bros, I think the stage on which the action is performed is actually part of the environment, part of the experience, right? Like, I went up to Boston a couple of years ago with the then-fiance. We took a trip up to Beantown, Massachusetts. And I'm going to tell you, Fenway Park is just a baseball park, all right? It's another stadium. It's nice, but it's just an old baseball stadium. And it's got the vibe of an old baseball stadium. Yet, and I'm not too manly to admit this, I cried when we walked into that stadium and I saw it for the first time. That like open shed a tear as a 37, 38-year-old man. I cried when I entered that stadium. Why? Because of the amount of memories for me as a baseball fan and for baseball the game that have been created there. That's the same field Ted Williams played on. That's the same field that some of the most iconic baseball games that have ever been played have been played on. That green monster out there in left field has been the backdrop of some of the most incredible baseball stories that have ever been told. And for the first time in my life, I got to walk into that stadium and see that monster and look up at the press box where some of the greatest baseball storytellers of all time have honed and shared their craft with us. I got to look out at the bullpen where some of the greatest pitchers of all time have gotten prepared. I got to look at right field, where Ted sent dinga after dinga during his career. I got to look out at the bump where Babe Ruth both pitched from and took a lot of dudes yad from. I got to see all of that in person. And because sports is theater for dudes, for bros, and the ladies who are bros too, when I got to take all that in, we walked in, and I will never forget the lady. By the way, I knew she's asked a couple of times. People have asked me, when did you know that she was the one? When we scheduled a trip to go to Boston, and despite the fact that I very wanted to, I did not say, what if we go see the Patriots play while we're there? What if we go see the Red Sox play while we're there? What if we go to Yankee Stadium while we're there? What if we do all the sports things? And it's not because she wouldn't have said yes. But it was because we were going to meet her friends, and it was a trip with her friends and her friend group and whatever. So I was like, I'm not going to be that guy that's like, yeah, I know we're going to do brunch in the New York City skyline, but like Yankee Stadium, huh? What do you say we go see Yankee Stadium? I didn't do that. So we were putting the plans together, and a couple of nights before, I'm like, all right, what are we doing? What are we doing the first night we get there? And she goes, oh, I didn't tell you, I got us tickets to go see Yankees at Red Sox at Fenway Park. I was like, That's it. That was the moment. So we get there, and we go in to Fenway Park. Fenway Park it's not just the baseball stadium. You actually give your tickets to the people before you walk into the entire neighborhood, basically, because Fenway Park, the streets that border the park, are part of the park. So you give your tickets, and then it's a whole street festival with bars and everything on those streets. And once you check in with your ticket, you can hang out on those streets for the street festival, and then you can go in and out of the actual baseball stadium, back out to the park, to the streets and the bars and all that. So when we got there, I'm like, oh, let's go in. She's like, hang on, we got to go over here. I'm like, all right, why? So we do it. And then she walks me, and she's like, we're going in this gate. And I looked at her tickets. I'm like, this isn't our gate. She's like, I know, but we're going in this gate anyway. She walked me into the gate so that when we went into the stadium, we were directly across from the monster. First thing I saw when I walked into Fenway Park was the monster. And it was like, this is incredible. I am not ashamed to admit that I stopped. I stood in the middle of the walkway. I hate people who stand in the middle of the walkway. If you're a person who takes their time walking, but you walk down the middle of the sidewalk, you're a monster. You're a bad person. And somebody needs to tell you you're a bad person. All right. I stood in the middle of that walkway, of that ramp going into Fenway Park, when I saw the monster, and I saw the pitcher's mound, and I looked out the right field and saw the bullpen, and I looked up into the left and saw the press box, and I just took that in and 100% missed it up and cried like I had just watched the end of Old Yeller all over again. The environment that we watch sports in matters a lot. This is why there's a lot of colleges that have really crappy stadiums. Unless you ask the people who grew up watching games in that stadium. And then it's the most iconic stadium, and it's got character, and it's got person. With stadiums, much like with people, if somebody says they have a lovely personality, you know what that means, all right? Well, we're going to bro for a minute. You know what it means when somebody says, I want to set you up on a blind date. They have a lovely personality. You know what it means. It means the same thing when people are talking about their favorite football stadium, baseball stadium, whatever. If they say it's got personality, it means it's a janky ass stadium. I want one of two stadiums. I want a Fenway Park that's old, and every player that's ever played the game has played a game there. Every player you ever heard of that played Major League Baseball played a game in that stadium, on that field. There's something about that. Or I want what Steve Ballmer just built. I want a tech-infused, what is damn near augmented reality stadium. All right. Have you seen, Zoe, have you seen the program that the NBA is working on right now with the VR glasses?
Are you where you can sit courtside? Yeah, that's been out for a while. They just, for a few years now, they're just really pushing it now because they've perfected it with the new, I forget what the new headset
is. Was it Meta or whatever? No, not Meta. Oculus, or is that the old one?
I think Oculus was the old one. I've been seeing a bunch of ads, including the dude in the laundromat.
Yeah.
Who puts them on and he's courtside. I started to try it a couple years ago on PSVR and never did because the headset's too heavy for me. And after a while, it gets too hot. These new ones look a lot lighter because I'm trying to imagine having one on for an entire game. But it does look really cool. And they've been working on perfecting it year after year. And the fact that they're pushing it so much now, I think they finally think they're there.
Or at least very close to it. I will tell you right now, here's how much I'm excited about that. If you came to me right now and you said, Rob Brown, we will give you one of two things. We will either give you a full PS5 rig, full setup, everything you want, sound bars, the VR headset, every game they've made for it, every different style, whatever you can give it. Or we're going to give you just the VR headset and a subscription to the NBA courtside thing. Because basically what they do is inside these stadiams.
It's MetaQuest, by the way.
MetaQuest.
Yeah.
Inside of these stadiums, they have a 360-degree camera that sits on a stick in a chair next to the scorer's table. So it's courtside. And when you pop into this camera with your VR glasses, as you look around, you can utilize the entire camera. And so basically, it's as if you are, when you have these goggles on, it's as if you are sitting courtside. You can follow the action back and forth. And wherever you look, you're getting that.
By the way, it's not every game.
I know it's not every game yet.
Yeah, they actually have a NBA VR schedule, which I'm looking at now to see the games that they have and the stadiums or the arenas. Tomorrow, the first one is Chicago versus Milwaukee.
Bulls Bucks. Yeah. See, I would to get that experience as if I am watching Dame and Giannis.
It's in Milwaukee.
Even better.
So
if I get that, I will tell you straight up. If I had access to any game I wanted every time I wanted it, right? When we get to a point, and it will get here, when we get to a point that this equipment is in every NBA arena for every NBA game, and I can pick and choose any game I want to tune in and feel like I'm watching courtside from my own couch. I'm spending all the money on that. I'm spending all the money.
It looks like right now they have 52 games scheduled. I don't see anything about playoffs, but there are 52 of them.
And I should know about this. I should know more about this as somebody who's very interested in it. Is this like a subscription thing? Or is it if you buy this headset, you can just tune in?
No, you still have to do the NBA thing.
Okay. So I, for the record,
but I,
absolutely
before
would.
When I looked, it looked like you could buy individual games. There's an app that you have to buy into, it looks like.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a whole thing. It's an app. It's probably got a subscription or at least the option to purchase game by game. I'll tell you right now, if you're going to let me sit on my couch with a headset on and watch the game as if I am next to the scorer's table, down to when guys come over to check in and they go to put the bottom of their shoes on that sticky thing, you know, to get the dust off before they go out on the hardwood. If you're going to let me sit there and feel as if I'm sitting next to Giannis when he checks in, I will pay NBA ticket prices to watch that from home.
One thing I don't know if you also get the game cast as far as the announcers and stuff goes, or if it's just the full arena experience where you're just hearing the crowd.
Would you have a preference to that?
I
don't care.
I would like both.
Yeah, if I could have both, I would. Ambient sound underneath the announcers. But I'll tell you right now, I would pay NBA ticket price. If you said that next weekend it's Pelicans Hawks live from New Orleans, and that was an option, and it was like $100 for that game, I'd pay it for that. Absolutely. All right, I don't even know how we ended up here, but it was a good discussion. We went from V-necks to quarter zips to Fenway Park to sitting courtside in an NBA game. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show is here on the Fan Upstate. We've had the conversation before, the conversation's been had many times, I know, about attendance at sporting events, right? One of the illustrations we've talked about this year is if you watch, say, Clemson, Florida State at Florida State, there's a huge swath of that stadium that is tarped off right now. And it's tarped off because Florida State is knocking out, like, thousands of seats out of Doak S. Campbell Stadium. And they are replacing those seats with about a quarter to a third of the same number of seats in a luxury setting, right? It's going to be effectively a tiered patio area that instead of having a seat like in a stadium, there's like high top tables with umbrellas and stuff, like you'd go to a brunch restaurant. And it's going to have dedicated bars and table service and yada, yada, yada. And those are obviously only going to be available to people who have mucho dinero. So a lot of Florida State fans are getting real mad because they're like, yo, you're like the prices of other tickets are going to go up. Well, not for Florida State. They're not, because nobody's going to those games anymore. But if the team was good, the prices of all the tickets would go up. And I have made the point to you in the past, because I've always used the expression, it does not matter to a team whose butt is in a seat. It simply matters that a butt is in the seat. But I'm actually going to refine that just a little bit. It is not whose butt is in a seat or that a butt is in a seat. It is that a team's got a budget and they need to make X dollars per home game. And how they get to that number is irrelevant. How they get to that, if I mean this. If tomorrow somebody somewhere, some prince in the Middle East called Jerry Jones and said, I would like to give you $5 billion. And in return for that $5 billion, I would like to come to a Cowboys game and be the only fan in the stadium. The rest of the owners would say no, but I guarantee you more professional owners and colleges would say yes to that request than any of us are comfortable acknowledging. They would absolutely say yes to that request, because it is not how many people they pack in a stadium. The reason that when you go to games, they have people like me on the microphone hyping up the crowd, and they have, you know, quarter and intermission and timeout entertainment and all that, is so that you are willing to give them money to continue to do that thing. No other reason, right? None. So we have hit this point where more people than ever before, and I know there's some of the national shows that have run poll questions on this, you know, on their shows or on Twitter or whatever else, where they've said, would you rather watch a game at home or would you rather watch it in the stadium? And I've said for years, I'm a live sports guy. I love being at live sporting events. It's my favorite thing. But I also acknowledge I'm not normal and that I like watching a live sport in person, because I like watching the sport and I get to see the field and the game and the players and the plays and the tactics and the concepts and all that. I get to see all that in a way that television can't, and in many cases at least won't, present it to me. I get to look at it the way that I want to watch the game. And that's not always the case on Televisión. But then you have guys like, and I'm gonna I don't think it's a call out. He said it on the show before. Like Diesel, who has said, I'd rather be on my own couch with my own beer that's dramatically cheaper. I don't have to wait in line for a bathroom. It's not a stinky, sweaty swamp like it is when I go to a game. I get to control my own air conditioner. I get to control when I get up. I don't have to disturb 19 other people in the row every time I want to go grab a brewski or whatever. There are a lot of people, probably more than ever before, that would elect to stay home and watch a game, then go to the stadium and watch the game. And so I think that is in large part why you are starting to see leagues. And I think the NFL is working on it.
Let me tell you about the last game that I went to, NFL. And it's been a while. It was a preseason game. You can look it up. I have no idea how many years ago it was, between Kansas City and the Panthers. I had two frat boys behind me trying to pull my ponytail. I had a man spreader next to me who was not giving me enough room to even breathe. And I had a jersey popper in front of me who was really tall, who popped every time something minor happened. And all I could think of is, you know where I don't get any of this? At home. I can watch my team at home and not have to worry about all these things that could go wrong and possibly, I mean, those guys pulling my ponytail, what do I do? Do I
sit there? You go get a cop because that's assault,
well,
is what you do.
Yeah, but what would most people do? I mean, how many times do we see fights in stadiums and it's out there so much to where I think it almost encourages it because people are like, well, they went viral, so I'm going to fight when I get to the stadium. It's so much easier to sit at home and watch it. And you get to hear the announcers. You get more angles at home than you do sitting in the stadium. That part of what you said, I don't get. Unless you're in a press box, you're not going to see everything. I mean, unless you can afford, and even if you're on the 50-yard line, you can't see everything. You're almost at ground level.
So to a couple of things there. I start with, I am sorry you had that experience, because I go to 3 to 9 professional sporting events a year, and I've never experienced anything like that. So that seems like crap luck for you. It does. And this is not a.
By the way, I left at halftime, and
sure.
And Cameron's like, "Are you sure, Dad? You sure you want to leave now?" It's like, you saw all that. This is only gonna get worse.
Yeah,
so let's just go.
I'm sorry you had that experience to start. Because that, like I said, I go to a Carolina Panther game at least one every year. I go every time the Saints play at Carolina.
All right, I need to point out how long ago this was. The Panthers were actually good.
It does help when there are as many Saints fans in the building as Panther fans. But I have been to games. I have been, as a Saints fan, as an away fan, I've been to games in Atlanta. I've been to games in Tampa. Been to a game in Miami. Been to a game in what other state? I went to Old Cowboys Stadium. Been to a game in San Diego when the Chargers were there. And even as an away fan, every time, I've never had that experience.
I'll be curious 5 years from now if you still have that same mentality. Because as you get older, I mean, other things come into play. That walk up to the top of the stadium because you can't afford to be down at the bottom becomes a little more difficult. And having to wade through crowds and things. And it just, I think age does come into play eventually.
It might, because I will tell you that I have found as I've aged, I've found myself more frustrated at particular aspects of games, right? Like it used to be, I wouldn't care if I was in a tunnel and people were leaving the game and people were taking the time. Now I'm like, can y'all go? Can you go? There's doors everywhere. Just pick one and go through it. They all go out, go. So I get it. But the stuff now I will say this. I am absolutely a dude who will engage in let's say friendly smack talk at a game. If a dude stands up and pops the jersey at me when Carolina does something, you would best believe the next time the Saints have the football and do something, I'm popping right back. But it is always with daps and high fives and whatever in the meantime. Like, I'm going to talk my smack and have my fun. I've never had anything happen like that at a game. However, I will also say, when I'm at my house, I'm genuinely comfortable, right? I'm genuinely comfortable. So when I see stuff like this, like these VR headset sideline views that they're putting up, I'm intrigued as to, one, how well they do, and B, what that does to attendance and game day experience. Because, at some point, at some point you are going to get to a spot where I think teams are either going to have to make the game day experience A, cheaper, or B, worth the $100 a ticket plus to go to a game. Because if the option is, I can buy a VR headset for $400 and for $150 a year, the cost of a game, I can buy 50 games of my team to watch at home in the NBA or all of my home games for the NFL team or whatever and be on the bench, yeah, why would I not do that, right? So I'm intrigued to see how this whole thing plays out. Take a break back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show carries on. The Fan Upstate, Rob the Great One, Lonzo, and you. We found out after the show was over yesterday. Zoe and I went and got some lunch. And as we were scrolling the Twitters during the day, found out that the Kansas City Chiefs, who obviously picked up DeAndre Hopkins yesterday from the Tennessee Titans, did indeed make a pass at the Rams to get Cooper Kupp. But we're not willing to come off of the price tag that the Rams placed on Cooper Kupp. We have learned since that they are seeking at least a second round pick in return for Cooper Kupp. The Chiefs unwilling to come off the second round pick, so they end up with D-Hop as their second option.
Well, not just that, but you have to deal with his contract too.
Well, and that part's interesting because you also have to deal with DeAndre Hopkins' contract. In fact, the reason when they said yesterday in the morning that they were finalizing a trade, what actually was happening was that there was a three-way negotiation between DeAndre Hopkins, the Titans, and the Chiefs. Because in order for the trade to go through, D-Hop had to sign a new contract with the Titans that shifted the money away around in a way that they were happy with and a way that the Chiefs were happy with. So D-Hop had to negotiate with the Titans, but the Chiefs were over on the side going, yeah, no, we're not going to accept the contract. If it's got that, change it to this, whatever. And that's what we were waiting on yesterday. Eventually it got done. But it was pointed out that D-Hop, and this is why we asked the question yesterday, and we're going to ask Kate and ask Mario, because we got Mario Heron from the BetQL Network, NFL Insider, joining us later on in the show. I should say analyst joining us later on in the show, 9 o'clock. There were a lot of folks yesterday that said this was very clearly a second option selection from the Chiefs. That Cooper Kupp was the right play in this spot. And I asked the question on the show yesterday after this news came through. If I presented you with the slider where on one end it's D-Hop is 32 years old and past his prime, that's why he's got, what is it, like 200 yards of receiving this year, almost halfway through the season? If I, on one end of this slider, I've got D-Hop's 32 years old, and he's just past his prime, he can't help that much. Or on the other side of this slider, I've got the Titans are just that bad. Will Levis is that bad. The Titans are that bad. The coaching staff is that bad. Brian Callahan is that bad. I don't even know who the offensive coordinator is in Tennessee. Who's the offensive coordinator in Tennessee right now?
I don't think most people know that.
That's so fair. Yeah. It's my job to know, and I don't know that. It's it's Nick Holtz. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it because the Titans are that bad and Will Levis is that bad? Or is it because DeAndre Hopkins is 32 years old and been in the league for a very long time and just ain't the same guy anymore? And for me, If that's a slider where I got to move it to one side or the other, for me, it's right in the middle. It's right in the middle. D-Hop is a 32-year-old wide receiver. There aren't many 32-year-old wide receivers that got it still. There's just not. Very few of them do. The ones who make it to 32 and still got it are the Randy Mosses of the game. So do I think you are going to see an increase, an upward trajectory in terms of performance from DeAndre Hopkins? Yes, it's Andy Reid and it is Patrick Mahomes. Although, as has been pointed out a couple of times, Patrick Mahomes this year, let me say this slowly and clearly, statistically, Patrick Mahomes isn't good this year. Statistically. In fact, it was pointed out to me yesterday, and actually let me go grab this because I found it very interesting. Statistically, Trevor Lawrence is outperforming Patrick Mahomes this year. It got sent to me. I got sent that take in graph format, and it blew my mind. I gotta find it. Now I gotta go dig.
Did you get chills and goosebumps and stuff when you saw a graph?
And I'm losing control. Cause the power Andy's supplying. It's electric. Okay, why did I do that?
Chris is gonna walk in and smack you.
Chris will sing and he'll come in and duet it.
No,
with me.
No, he won't. He hates Grease.
You better shape up. Hoo.
So
I need a quarterback.
I think this is sheer comedy, the fact that people are pointing out how bad Patrick Mahomes is.
Why is it comedy? I mean, they're 6-0.
It's comedy because they're 6-0. The running game is amazing right now, and the defense is great. They've changed how they do things. They've had to because, as you pointed out, lack of receiver. So they've become a running team that plays really good defense. And what do you need for that? You need a quarterback who doesn't make mistakes. And I know he's thrown more interceptions.
More picks than anybody else.
Right, right. And those have resulted in defeats for Kansas City, right?
No. Zero of them, as a matter of fact. But again, I think this is where that...
It's not a factor until it costs you a game.
I think this is where that mentality of... Are you winning because of or in spite of comes into play? And listen, we can break it down to he's 6-0, and he is. He's killing it, and he's not killing it. The team is killing it. But when you look at the numbers for 2024, I think it is fair to say Mahomes is not living up to what we are used to from Patrick Mahomes. And I said that coming into the year. I am concerned about Patrick Mahomes' wide receiver core this year. Because I do think that it is going to take a move from Kansas City to get Kansas City to where they need to be. It just is. Here's the numbers. Found the numbers, by the way. Mahomes, 127 completions on 187 attempts. Lawrence 131 out of 211. Percentage of completions, Mahomes 67.9, Lawrence 62.1. But in terms of yards, Trevor Lawrence has 200 more yards. He has 3 more touchdowns. He has 5 fewer interceptions. And you know, this is where I would absolutely point out the Jags stink too. In fact, Lawrence has got better weapons catching the football, that's not even a question to me than Patrick Mahomes does.
What did you say, two? You mean, you're comparing the two teams, and then you said the Jags stink too.
Sorry, Jags offensive line and weapons stink too. The interior of the Chiefs offensive line is good. The exterior, the two tackles, meh. If for no other reason, then they're the most penalized group in the game. Trevor Lawrence's offensive line is bad. The weapons that Jacksonville has for Trevor Lawrence are better than the weapons put around Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. However, Patrick Mahomes has got the secret sauce. That is Andy Reid, who we paid a lot of compliments to yesterday. A lot of compliments to yesterday in that I don't think there is a coach better at knowing the strengths of the guys that are suited up on his squad and deploying them in a concept and a game plan that takes advantage of those strengths better than Andy Reid. I heard a guy yesterday on ESPN say, and I don't think he's wrong. If the Chiefs three-peat this year and Andy says, that's enough, I'm tired, boss, I'm going home, Patrick Mahomes' career hits a downslope real fast. And I think that might be right. I think it might be right. That's not to say he won't be good, but I don't think he's going to be a dude that's threatening to three-peat at QB anymore. I think he's still very good. I think he's still one of the best in the game. But if Andy Reid bails, if he retires, if he calls it, if he's tired, boss, and goes home, I think Mahomes comes downhill real quick. Like, he becomes a good quarterback. But I don't think he puts up the numbers that you go, oh, this guy's threatening Brady without Andy Reid. I don't think he gets there. All of that being said, if there's a sliding bar where on this side it's D-Hop's 32 years old and he's been in the game 100 years, and over here it's the Tennessee Titans led by Will Levis and the coaching staff. Hey, remember 3 minutes ago when I asked who the offensive coordinator was and then I told you? Who's the offensive coordinator? It's 3 minutes ago. That's my point, right?
Yeah, but I don't care. So I mean,
what do you mean you don't care?
I don't care who the offensive coordinator is.
Why?
I don't. It's not important to me. What's important is wins and losses. And I know that that offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator or special teams coordinator contributes to all that. But I don't think the average fan knows who the coaches are on every team.
And once again, the exact reason I've said this is why your team doesn't give a damn about your opinion. If you don't care who the offensive coordinator is because all that matters is wins, that's a great fan perspective. Awful way to run a football team. Awful way to run a football team. That's a good way to go, oh, for decades, if you don't care who your coaches are.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And the Kansas City Chiefs have a history of being a losing team year after year after year.
Who the hell said about the Chiefs? I'm talking about you. You said, I don't care who their offensive coordinator is. That's a real bad way to evaluate talent.
You don't look at the talent. The majority of the people listening right now have no idea who the offensive coordinator is for their favorite team.
I don't care. That's a fan perspective, okay? I don't care. If you are the type of dude that calls this show and goes, I don't care what the Panthers do in the front office. I just want them to win. There's no conversation to be had there. Okay, me too. Great phone call. Next, right? Like, if that's the reason that you do that is because every outcome has a million variables and your job is to dial in on all of them to figure out where I can tinker and play with. If your mentality is I don't care what the Chiefs do as long as they win, why are you listening to sports talk radio? What's the point, right? For us, it is to dial in on what is happening and why.
All right. I think first of all, you tried to play a memory game. And most people cannot remember what you said the offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans was. And it was more than 3 minutes ago. It was more like 10 minutes ago.
The point is, if you are looking at DeAndre Hopkins, and we are genuinely asking the question.
If you don't know who the offensive coordinator is for your team, you're a bad person.
No, you're an average fan. And so? That's okay.
So?
But
There are more average fans than there are super fans.
Okay,
and you can listen to radio for opinions and not have to know about who the offensive coordinator is. You chastise me because I don't care.
No, you're taking something personally that ain't personal. It's not personal.
My point here is, I'm not getting emotional. If it was personal, I'd be getting emotional.
If I am evaluating whether or not DeAndre Hopkins is indeed a valuable addition to the Kansas City Chiefs, which impacts the Ravens, the Bills, the 31 other teams. 31 other teams are impacted by D-Hop going to the Chiefs. If I am evaluating...
That remains to be seen, by the way. Just because of how good the situation is doesn't mean he's going to fit with the team. He may go there and they may not use him.
So that is absolutely a good conversation. And part of that conversation...
You're right, and not who the offensive coordinator for Tennessee was.
Part of that conversation is what does D-Hop bring to the football field? What is he capable of? And part of that conversation is, does he play within an offense now that is actively engaged in trying to get him the football, to scheme him open, or is he in an offense that doesn't do that?
Because if you are trying to go for a three-peat, and you need
a wide receiver to put into, and you do, then to go get a... Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
It's okay. As I said yesterday, it's been echoed on the stream, he's not going to more than likely be very productive at the beginning because he's going to get double teams.
Not what we're talking
gonna,
about.
Which is going to open Kelsey. I'm sorry, I was talking about football.
Yeah,
I'm
me
sorry.
Too.
Are you?
Who calls the plays for the Tennessee Titans? What's the scheme that he uses?
I don't
What's
care.
What's the percentage of our...
And neither
I
do
know.
You.
No, I do care.
No, you don't. Come on. You don't care about Tennessee.
No, I don't. I care about DeAndre Hopkins' addition to the Chiefs. And the only way that I can try to figure out what he's going to do is look at what he's done. And what he's done is directed and controlled by an offensive coordinator who calls the plays.
All right, let's go back to when he had a good quarterback. Whenever he had a good quarterback, he was productive.
Why do we ever talk about Andy Reid? All that matters is Patrick Mahomes winning and losing. But do you ever talk about the game plan Andy Reid puts into play?
Not really.
I got nothing for you then.
Not really.
Have fun on Sundays. I don't know what to say.
By the way, I do have fun on Sundays. I have a lot of fun.
I'm sure you do, because you don't care about anything but the final score.
No, because my team's undefeated.
Offensive coordinators matter. They're people too. Sports flash. Sports flash.
Wonder who the offensive coordinator for the New Orleans Saints is.
Clint Kubiak, former passing coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers, who threw them to the Super Bowl last year.
And you're the only one who cares. The NBA regular season saw a full slate of contests last night, including a 110-105 win over the Houston Rockets by the Charlotte Hornets. LaMelo Ball led all scorers in the game, recording 34 with 11 assists and 8 boards. Trey Mann added 24, 11, and 8. Off the bench, the Hornets start the season 1-0. NC State Wolfpack quarterback Grayson McCall said yesterday he's retiring from football following a series of injuries, the latest sustained in the Wolfpack's home loss to Wake Forest October 5th. McCall has had head injuries, including a serious one last year at Coastal. McCall says that he hopes to enter coaching next. Tune in tomorrow at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels head of Spartanburg take on the Vikings. It's Burns versus Spartanburg right here on your home for Burns Rebels football. The Fan, Upstate.